You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the government has seen the social housing waiting list double since it took power, and the urgent wait list for people looking to be placed on social housing in New Zealand has now passed 10,000 people, which is quite a few people. I talked to Auckland Action Against Poverty's Ricardo Menendez-March about this waiting list for state housing, starting by asking what AAAP, or Auckland Action Against Poverty, say the cause of this is.
Well, I mean, it boils down to the number of people that are homeless is not always reflected in the social housing waiting list. And the reasons for that is the previous governments have changed the eligibility criteria to be able to enter a state home. So when the Labor government changed it, they did see a rapid increase, but the causes are the same. It's a lack of affordable private rentals and a welfare system that stops people from being able to afford basic costs of living, which means more and more people are being put in a situation where they just have nowhere to live. And we're seeing record rents in places like Wellington, Auckland, and Tauranga. So it is no surprise to us that the number of people requiring social housing is at really high levels at the moment.
You kind of mentioned it's reflective of homelessness and statistics. The Housing Minister, Phil Twyford, has also said that this is reflective of large numbers of hidden homeless who are now being reflected in statistics. Do you think this is a fair comment, or does this, although it may be true, kind of dismiss the issue that is at the heart of the topic?
Oh, look, I don't think the minister can use that as an excuse to not be building enough state homes to cater for the need. If Minister Phil Twyford was aware that there was a greater number of so-called hidden homeless, his government should have planned ahead to build enough state homes to meet this now visible demand. We've got a government that is putting far too much priority into building private housing that will be inevitably unaffordable for the people on the waiting list, and is only devoting about a third of the resources of Crown land to build state homes. So this is a matter of priority. Phil Twyford knew since taking office that the level of need was incredibly high, so I don't think this should excuse the little action we have seen to address the demand.
Although we have seen this increase in numbers for the waiting list, we've also seen the development and conversion of 1,658, I believe, new state and community homes last year, which is the largest increase in stock of state housing in a decade. From this, I have two questions. What else do you believe the government can and should do to fix this kind of issue? And should we also perhaps not be seeing this high rate of production of state and community homes as a reflection of good work by the coalition government, but perhaps a statement about all the government's work and commitment to state housing in the last decade?
I think it's absolutely the latter. I mean, you know, it is true, of course, that this government is doing more than the previous government when it comes to building state housing. But I don't believe that the benchmark should be doing more than the previous administration. The benchmark we should set for any government is about whether they're doing enough to meet the demand of people that do not have a place to live. And so despite this government building more state homes than the previous one, it is still not enough. And when we see that most of the resources are being spent building private housing, that two-thirds of the developments in places like South Auckland are going into private homes instead of state homes, it tells me that the priorities are still wrong and that there is still far more that they can do to put the resources to build enough state homes that will match the demand that we're seeing in the social housing waiting.
Do you think we see issues with comparing governments to the last government? Do you think that this is like a valid form of working out how well a government is doing? You bring up the very valid point that if there's still a need, then it doesn't matter if you did better than the last government. But do you think governments often hide behind that kind of comparative analysis?
Absolutely. And this is not just on housing, but I would say in any issue. I mean, from wages to health outcomes and anything else. Look, I mean, for those of us that are advocating for universal access to housing, health and education, having a government that is telling us they're doing a little bit more than the previous one doesn't doesn't cut it, because we know that there's resources to do even more. And one of the reasons, you know, that the Labour government is not doing it is because of things like the fiscal policies that they've set themselves that economists have criticized. And they're sitting in a $5 billion surplus where they could be investing that money into infrastructure and increase standards of living. So, yeah, having that benchmark set, I think, allows governments to get away with doing the bare minimum work, because so long as they're seen to be doing more than the previous government, they probably think they've got an escape. And that means we get very tiny incremental changes between administrations when they do happen.
So the average wait time on this social housing list is now 157 days, which is an increase of 122 days from a year ago. This is, of course, however, affected by outliers. So the median wait time for a house is 98 days, which is not much better. However, I was wondering, what effect does this wait time have on people looking to be placed in housing?
Oh, look, it has really detrimental effects, because for many people, either they'll be in the streets, they'll be in precarious situations such as couch surfing between homes, or they'll be in motels, many of them, as a recent investigation by Stuff showed, don't even meet the building code standards, or you know, they're cockroach infested and have blood-stained sheets. And so this actually has long-term effects on people's health, physical and mental. And it actually is a really costly, you know, wait for the government itself, because while they're waiting for a state home, they're actually, the government is spending millions of dollars on the motels. This is resources that could be used to also increase the public housing stock, which would be far more cost efficient and provide a permanent solution. So people suffer a lot during those 90 days. And I would say that a lot of the outliers that Phil Twyford is dismissing are the people that have been failed the most by successive government, because nobody should be waiting such a long time to get access to a home.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.